the sample access, administered by Boyega and Nelson.
Yeah, let me try that.
Podcasting is hard.
It's hard, right? Welcome to the Sample Access Podcast. You're listening to the voice of Nelson, the main man. And of course, I got my big bro here. Boss. Big man.
I'm not inspired.
You know what?
Nobody.
Come on, we're about to get into something quality.
I need motivation.
Something high, like food, jollof rice.
I need motivation, like money. I like you, they motivate me.
Ajay.
I need that energy.
But I know you want. I know.
I saw one recently.
I know if you could get jollof rice right now, it'd be nice.
Now who cut me?
Now what?
Now who cut me is for me, Aguami.
Wait, now cut me is for me, Aguami.
Yeah, that's one of the new.
Six.
Yao boys be doing the most with these quotes, man.
I don't think it's a Yao boy scene. I think it's anybody that wants to feel
no,
inspired.
No, that culture of WhatsApp status.
Oh, yeah. Because say they cook, you know me, they chop now. My biz goes so done.
You want
my
biz
go full pass you.
now borrow me power bank, I go give charge. All kinds of nonsense.
Oh, so
yeah, there's a culture of, you know, lingo in that space.
Yeah.
Man, what do we have today? We have Mologo.
Yeah, what episode are we on? 38.
Episode 38.
This is one episode before the end of the quarter, third quarter, right?
Is it quarter? 39. You make it sound like a year.
Okay, but
yeah, quarter
we said 3Q now. That's what this is.
Q3.
Wow. We started Q1 like last
like play,
year.
Like play. It's over a year now.
It's over a year. And I think we're in a...
We can pick up our chest that...
Yeah, we've been here for a year, dropping back to back as much as we can.
It's plenary.
Yeah, it's plenary in the year. It's plenary. All right, Sample Access Podcast. You know what we do? We talk to you about songs that were picked off, or the word we use, sampled or interpolated. And, you know, we try to take songs from different years so that you can see how long the difference is. And you'll be really excited when you find out that this music is done differently, or this music has taken a new form.
Yeah.
And every week, I have to tell you the truth, each time we're doing research before we come on for this, I always feel amazed because it's really cool, you know, being in that level and seeing that things are actually happening. Jigget, like, you can tell that, you know, music is made differently and music is done differently. And you're like, that's really, really cool. Mm. Like, I don't get to see that a lot.
One of our theories is that music comes from the same place, right? All music comes from the same place. And if it's trap, if it's juju, fuji, reggae, afropop, there is a place where they all come together.
And it's maddening each time we discover like how they come together. Yeah, we got a quartet today, and I don't know, the way it's looking at right now, we have
it's more than a quartet.
It's more than a quartet, but we have like two stars that we need to talk about at length, and we're going to try our possible best to talk about them in under 50 minutes.
And they all
and
stars.
I hope we do them justice.
Yeah,
you understand?
Yeah,
because
yeah.
Two of them, even though one of them is just like is not the biggest star to everybody, but had one particular song that went viral.
So when we say star, we don't mean, of course, everybody. The fact that they are this popular mean they are stars.
Yeah, basically.
But for the episode, we try to like pay attention to one person or one or two persons, and you know, because to me they are like, they are no longer being talked about or respected enough, and so we need to shine light on
very important, very important stuff. Because you know, you were saying something about forgotten stars, and I said maybe at some point we're just really trying to get some of this. We talked about the Legado sisters, which was really cool. If you have not listened to that episode, go back, check on and listen to the episode. I can't remember the episode number, but I know it's somewhere out of the 37 that we've put out. You need to also, like, we take all this time to get to pay attention and say big ups to all of these artists that have done it. I can't wait for us to get to Onyekanwenu. We're talking about Onyekanwenu randomly yesterday.
Yeah.
And it was really cool because we discovered that we had, like, you know, a particular song that even is not the biggest, but we have a thing with the song.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, this is a song that we actually feel.
And, legit.
And I'm sure that if we talk about it, people would also feel the same way.
That's
so,
Iyogogo.
Yeah,
that's Iyogogo.
We need to bring out, yeah, we need to bring out like stuff like that and, you know, talk about them.
You were mentioning Forgotten Stars, right?
Yes.
And you mentioned Lydia the Sisters. Some other people that we have talked about in that space is Dr. Alban. We have done Tunde Nightingale, Eddie Okunta. It's easy to forget them because, of course, this was in the 70s or 80s, and the amount of money in music today is not the same as it was at the time.
It's
the
not,
number of people
not.
Listening to music is not the same. And so And these people were, you know, they did what they had to do, make music, make people happy, and, you know, the records are there. But I don't like the fact that a lot of people don't know about them. It's human nature, it's normal, but we want to, like, be the ones, or one of the ones, to talk about these people. Remind me of some of the other people that we have mentioned. At some point, we mentioned SAB.
Talked about SAB as well. And our last episode, Sikira, for those that listen, and if you haven't listened, I feel like that has to be one of our best so far. Because
I loved mixing that.
Yeah, because even in the booth while we're recording, there was a vibe.
Yeah,
and we knew we're talking about music that we actually love 100%.
And Pasuma.
So Fuji, you guys should music. Listen to that. The Fuji episode.
Remind me of more people that we have talked about.
Yeah, we've talked about actually a lot of people, you know. A lot of artists.
I want us to do something about Mona Finney.
Sonya Spence. Yeah. Mona Finney will call people Sonya Spence. I'm sure a lot of people do not know who Sonya Spence is. But if your mother was a big music listener, or your father, I'm saying mother because I think I got Sonya Spence from my mom as well. Mm. Like that, you know, like Pure Love. I know I remember I told you about the Pure Love story. Yeah. I had heard it before, but I didn't know until I heard it again. Mm. And a couple of other songs that, like Jet Planes, even though she wasn't the original, you know, a performer of the song, still went on to do all that. But, you know, what we have today is quite unique. I'm about to get into it.
Shadi Adu, Tevin Campbell. I wish I made a list.
Yeah, Shadi Adu, Tevin Campbell.
Susan Vega,
Abameda.
iPhone 65.
Well, I haven't even talked about Fela yet because we're keeping Fela for. Is it Q4 or Q5?
I don't even know. Maybe Q7.
Okay. Yeah, right.
Let's get to today's pieces.
Yeah, today's pieces that he said. We have KSA, King Sunny Ade, in the mix. We have Mologo in the mix. We have Bonnie Mac. The person I talked about is a musical genius, but didn't do so big in terms of like replicating his success.
Sounds like Brownstone.
Yeah, sounds like Brownstone, but Brownstone had two albums. You can't even pinpoint Bonnie Mac's album.
Really?
Yeah. So
what's this man's name? Prince Nico Mbago?
No. Prince Nico Mbago dropped an album.
More than one? Just one?
I think two, I guess.
But he could have done a lot more.
I mean, but it was, what happened to him was different. He died early.
Oh, okay.
That's what happened. He stalled. Something stalled him.
Look at these people. There was, when we had Yinka Oladipo on the podcast.
Yeah, we talked about someone. Glorious.
Apart from Wally Glorious.
The lady, is it the lady?
There was a man he mentioned. Crossdale Juba. He said he could have lived longer. He was short-lived, you know. Yeah, Wally Glorious. God rest their soul. So yeah, back to Bonnie Mac. Who's left on the pieces? On this episode, we have Mologo,
Wale as well. Wale, the bad guy.
And just a little bit, our senior man, Pasuma Wonder.
I wouldn't have said that. I wouldn't have allowed that we put Pasuma Wonder into this mix. But because... it seems like we can't actually like run away from the man. We have to like
because I like the vibe.
Yeah, right. Because Pasuma is just, you know, Pasuma. Yeah. I think Pasuma, at some extent, you can't refer to him as sampling again. But it's just on vibes.
Just vibes.
He's just enjoying himself. And I think the music genre accepts that kind of vibe. You know,
and
it's not like the polished one where we have to, which we're going to talk about right now, because I feel like this might be longer than an hour.
It wouldn't be the way
we have started, but I hope it's not.
Jesus.
Because I said 50 minutes already, but like we talked about the fact that, you know, the Fuji, when we're talking about the last episode, the Fuji episode, there is room for creativity.
Yeah.
No bounds at all. There's no boundary. There's nothing. It transcends beyond the regular music.
Yeah.
It's not just, I mean, you can be somewhere just, you know, maybe you are doing a record and then something pops into your head and that becomes a song. It's really, really cool. And I feel like, you know, the same thing happens to Juju. I know I've spoken about Juju once or twice. I think I was spoken about Juju once or twice. I don't know if we've done an Ebenezer Obey episode yet, but I think
not
we did
yet.
At some point. Yeah. But
we have not done Imasiko, so we haven't done
Imasiko. Is like a classic.
Imasiko is one of the most sampled Nigerian songs.
Apart from being the most sampled Nigerian song, one of the I talk about arranged songs a lot. One of the most perfectly arranged songs
of that time,
because obviously compared to now, we have people on different, you know,
levels
doing stuff, but at the time, that's why, you know, I always reference ODOO. I think ODO is one of the best arranged songs by Fela, even though people will say Beast of No Nation, but I say go and listen to ODO.
Beast of No Nation is crazy.
Yeah,
the arrangement
next level. But if you think you like Beast of No Nation and you're an arrangement person,
yeah,
listen to ODOO. The the flow, and that's what we need to talk about when we talk about Juju people. And that's why we are going to lead this episode with King Sunny Ade.
So we are going to start this episode with King Sunny Ade being sampled by Mologo. Mologo is one of Nigeria's very talented, one of the most talented musicians of this generation. Songwriter, singer.
Yeah, I saw that he had a song songwriting credit on Tiwa Savage's Celia.
Many people's project.
Yeah, that's
not
really cool.
Not just Tiwa. He has an EP out now, I Am D.
But I mean, he studied in music school, so like, you don't expect anything
and then
less.
He sings. I like his use of Yoruba in his music.
Yeah. That's and the fact that he has not even been in the country for over 20 years, and he left at the age of 11, and his Yoruba sounds, even for me that I've been here forever, it sounds better than mine.
I'm impressed by that. And of course, his music is solid.
Yeah.
Now, this album we're talking about is Statue de Reti, right? You're going to talk more about that. But the song in question is called Kpenkele as well. So, Mologo has a song titled Kpenkele, sampling King Sunny Ade's Kpenkele from the year 1983.
But was released in 1984. The song Kpenkele was released in 1983, but the album was released in 1984.
So the album is Synchro System. Let's start with that.
Yeah.
First Grammy nomination for King Sunny Ade.
First Grammy nomination, ethnic and folk category at the time. This was before they changed to world music. So it's almost the same thing
ethnic
as
ethnic and folk category.
Folklore category.
Ethnic and folklore category.
Yeah, but this was before they changed it to the world music category, like later on in subsequent years. I think it was changed in maybe 1987 or 1988. I'm not so sure. But I know as from 1989 downwards, you have them as
any
best
ideas
world music.
Of those people who were mentioned who were nominated in the same category? This would be other Africans.
Obviously, like, not other Africans, actually. At the time, you were talking
about global music.
Global music. So you have people from Spain, people from Latina music. I think that time, even the Latin category hadn't become so much of a big deal yet. So you still get them in the Latin category. The ones in the Americas, the other parts of the Americas, I'm talking about, like, you know, maybe the U.S. Virgin Islands, the Barbados and the likes, you know, all those people will come into play that have strong music in terms of, like, ethnicity and how it's, like, related.
Side story, what was popping in 84 in America?
1984 was post-disco. I mean, we're talking about post-disco so much.
Lakeside.
I feel like, Lakeside already... They're already feeding at the time. We're talking about, like, Atlantic Star. We're talking about, you know...
The Whispers?
Were always there. Those guys should not be called as one decade
the
games. Supremes were already gone. Supremes was, like, 60s.
Whitney Houston
was just starting up. Michael Jackson was running the show because that was 83, 84. Yeah. So, Michael Jackson just dropped Thriller in 1982.
Hip-hop was nowhere to be found.
Hip-hop was somewhere, but it wasn't a big deal. I mean, you're talking about people like Grandmaster Flash, you know?
Yeah.
So, it was just... playing around with sounds, nothing serious.
Shade was around, obviously.
Come on, Okpo, Shade at the time. What are you saying? There's no way to talk about Shade. And then Obi Onyonghua was in our power time. 1984 was when Venom Ariogi released
Nigeria
Go Survive. So that was a big time for music.
Yeah.
Apart from the fact that music was everywhere, even in Nigeria, everybody was popping. You know, every other person, even
King
though
Sonia,
Ebenezer Obi that year. 84, 85. That was the year where you need to postpone your parties.
Yeah, yeah.
So that everyone can actually be present. So, yeah.
Back
he was
Sunny.
Really, really good. Yeah, back to Sunny Ade. And Sunny Ade that we're talking about right here, in terms of taking the African light from the continent Africa to the world, he was one of those first set of guys, apart from the Manu Dibangos that left at the time, Miriam Makeba. You have to call Sunny Ade. Sunny Ade was representing Nigeria at the time very, very well because he was already made at the time. Sunny Ade had already been in the music industry from the 60s down to, like, and he had a swell time in the 70s. So he had already made money, basically.
Yeah.
He was already a bad guy. I mean, Sunny Ade was riding a gold Rolls Royce in 1984.
In London.
That's some massive madness. Can I cross?
No,
okay.
So... Sunny Ade was having.
I think you should keep that.
Possibly before this time, he must have been popping. But I think here was he as, you know, being named, perhaps around the same time, King of World Beats.
Yeah,
I think there was one first one title, and then came King of World Beats. So on this album, you would hear Synchro Feelings. Can you pull up the track list?
Yeah, we had Synchro Feelings. We had
Synchro System.
Motimo was a popular one for us down here because I know my popsy made me know that song.
Biri biri
yeah, yeah. That's that song now. So that one, and then there's also like there are a couple of other songs as well that did very, very well. But I don't know whether Synchro System was this was the album for Nigerians, because obviously that was created. Now I think we should go back a little bit,
okay,
so that we get people in the mix. I didn't know I was going to lead this episode though. I told you yesterday I was going to lead this episode.
We are leading it together. The Holy Spirit is directing the show.
All right. So, yeah. Before the 80s, like we already said rightly, King Sunny Ade was already making hits down in Nigeria. So, he was already a bad guy in Nigeria as far as we're concerned. But they were looking for a way to bring in African music into America, which they had done prior to the time with people like Manu Dibango, Miriam Makeba. But they wanted a sound that they could actually
cross over to.
Tune in. I mean, these were the times where you were putting 5 songs or 6 songs off an album. Juju would give you 30, 45 minutes straight up.
Was Fela touring at this time?
Of course. Fela already started touring. Fela even already stopped touring 80. For a while then came back again. Because remember, Fela's biggest tour, as far as we are concerned, is 1978, Berlin.
Whoa.
That has to be the biggest as far as we are concerned. Now, it might not be the biggest for Fela.
Hmm.
But for we were not there, that we learned to go back and watch or take more out of this, you know, that particular that was the Fela's concert,
the moment
he killed it, yeah. You know, and that was coming off Ruffle Ruffle Fight and Shakara in 77. I mean, that was where they had the 28 band thing now, yeah. But when you listen to stuff like Beast of No Nation, you listen to something that went down to the 90s or ODO, I was talking about the craft was properly arranged, and that's what King Sunny Ade was known for as well. His band was everything.
Mm.
If you're going to talk about King Sunny, you have to talk about his African Beats. Now, yeah. His African Beats were the name of his band at the time before he broke off after the Aura album for Mango Records, which were under Island Records. Now, I said I was going to go back a little bit. So, this is what happened. Bob Marley died in 1981, as we all know.
Yeah.
And then before Bob Marley left the world, he was signed to this particular record label called Mango Island. Now, Mango Island Records. Now,
based in the US.
Yeah, based in the US. Now, Mango Island Records, they were managing the Jamaican as well as the outliers of the music industry at the time.
Okay.
And they were the UK version of UMG. You know, we spoke about this stuff before, talking about there was this confusion about RCA Victor, yeah. RCA,
Sony,
and all that. So, Sony, Epic Records. I mean, Sony and Epic, why are they different things? Are they not the same people? But then we discovered yesterday MJJ Records, Michael Joseph Jackson Records.
Whoa.
They had Brownstone, which we didn't know for a very long time. But we know why that went down fast though.
They call them imprints, right?
Yeah, like they're under the labels, yeah. Like Interscope under Def Jam and all that.
You got Burna Boy signed to Atlantic and then Atlantic to Warner.
Yeah, exactly. And now, so Warner Music is the one in charge of distribution.
So hold on a second. Spaceship, Atlantic, Warner. Mm. Wow, that's not complicated, but no, everybody does different things.
It's not really complicated.
I don't know why we're going all the way back to Island Records and Mungo Park. Is it Mungo Park Records?
Yeah. It's actually Mungo Park. Back to Island Records. We're talking about Bob Marley. Mungo Island Records. Let's These guys were, you know, Mumford and Sons. I don't know whether you know Mumford and Sons.
Nah.
U2.
UB40.
Not UB40. Nah. U2.
I don't know.
U2. These guys were handled and they were, you know, managed by this Island Records. So. And Mango Island Records.
So you're saying Island Records?
Still,
is the same thing as Mango Island Records.
Mango was the subdivision of Island Records that were in charge.
So do they call them together in a way?
Yeah, you call Island Records Island Records, but you assign to Mango Island Records.
Oh, okay, I get that now.
Get what I'm saying? So the most of the part is for last part. You talking about people like Justin Bieber is still there.
Same record label?
Yeah.
Island Records?
Yeah.
What about the Usher story?
Yeah, that do we want to flex into that? You don't want us to leave this place.
Please, just so we don't leave loose ends, like the name of an artist.
Yeah, I'm sure Jude will love that.
Just loose so we ends. Don't leave open ends.
Loose ends.
Let's, well, if we open any end, right. Let's tie it back. Tie back the Usher story, then we tie back the Bob Marley story.
Wait, let's
and back
this,
to the Sonny Ade story.
Let's be doing this first of all. Let's go back to why we were actually talking about.
Why were we? Where were we? Why were we not where?
So this is what happened. When Bob Marley died, they needed somebody that had the same distinctive sound to come and do music.
Okay.
So what they did was they went and poached King Sonny Ade in Nigeria. Now King Sonny Ade was already doing very well here.
His own.
But
label?
For them to poach him down to Island Records, I think 82. They needed somebody, so they got Martin Monsieur.
Monsieur. The plug.
Monsieur. we have always talked about like producers that did very, very well.
Yeah.
For Nigerian artists and African artists in total, like in a large. All right, Lakadino was everywhere on Lijaru's sisters project. Fela Nikolapo Kuti, Ebenezer Obey, SAB.
Wow.
He was everywhere.
Recording engineer, producer.
Yeah, recording engineer and producing. And then we have Martin Monsieur. Okay. Now, Martin Monsieur was also around for these guys, talking about Manu Dibango, talking about, you know, the best of the best from Africa. Fela Nikolapo Kuti, even Femi Kuti in 2008 worked with him.
Wow.
As well. And he was the one that actually produced.
Martin is still with Island Records too.
I don't think he's it wasn't an in-house producer.
Oh, okay.
He was never an in-house producer.
Consulted.
Yeah, we're consulted. But you know these guys, the big guns. For example, like Epic Records. Epic Records had Quincy Jones for a while. But when Quincy Jones left the record label, Epic Records kind of dwindled. But I don't think we should talk. That's the talk for another day.
We don't have the time.
Yeah, we don't have the time, right? And back to KSA. KSA, King of Music.
Connect Martin Monsieur to KSA.
Okay, Martin Monsieur.
And how the album came about.
All right, so they needed to do something out of the ordinary, like something fresh. But I'm very sure we all know this, that King Sunny had this to his grounds in terms of not tampering too much with the music. So although a lot of people give some credit to Martin for making the production world-worthy, but I think most of the work, 80 to 90% of the job, came from King Sonyade and his African beats.
Hmm.
You understand? Because if they didn't do all the work, Martin would have like the energy or the creativity to make it work.
Hmm.
If you get what I'm saying. Because this is not a sound he's familiar with. This is not, it's not Michael Jackson playing. You understand? It's not Manu Dibango where you can actually just walk around something like Soul Makossa.
Hmm.
This was something that was that he was new to. So I like to give majority of the credit to King Sonyade and his African beats. Yeah, he said something in that interview in 1984.
Yeah.
I think he said something about he wanted to be different.
Okay.
He wanted his approach to music to be different. Yeah. Obviously, he has his roots in juju.
Yeah.
But he wanted something that you could listen to and say, this is Sonyade's work. And he did that very, very well with adding the Hawaiian sound into it.
There was a man I watched recently.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember, and it wouldn't be good if I don't remember, because I'm trying to connect how the Nigerian sound moved to become globally accepted. It was mainly Afrobeats. Let me remember this man. By the way, 1991, Majek Fashek was performing, you know, in the UK, in the US, spreading that music. And this man I'm trying to remember, Segun Awe. She alafiani, alafiani, alafiani. So, I'm just curious to know, maybe for another episode, to know the origins and the trajectory of Nigerian sound becoming a global darling.
Yeah.
We can save that for later. I'll do some research in that space, because Wizkid is at the forefront of that
right now,
and it's so good to see. But the trajectory started possibly with Fela and King Sonyade in the 70s, taking the sound outside. Before then, I'm not sure anybody really went out in the 60s. Maybe Nightingale.
Nightingale did.
William
Obey did as well.
What time was William Onyebo?
70s.
70s.
I mean, Sonyade was showing up in movies. So he was actually
the darling of...
He was the perfect guy. It was just, if there's anything like being aligned in the stars, it just made perfect sense to put him as the guy at the time,
because the face of the sound.
He was doing something that was Nigerian and at the same time was also unique.
Can we talk about how talented or how beautiful his shows are? He has a way of, I don't know how to say it, but there are gems for days. If Sonyade is performing, he has 7,000 songs to pull from. When I say songs, I mean, you know, when a musician is performing and he just needs one he needs one song to ride for like 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Sonyade has thousands of those gems
in
his album.
It's massive.
One that can come to mind is he made an album for Obadeyemi, the Alaafin of Oyo. I can't recall any of the one of those choruses. Why can't I remember now? Why am I doing like this today?
What are we going to call those parts of music that just goes on for a while?
what you just said means I must remember one of these chorus. Baba mama jen faragbaruwe kinro wo fi lo gba dojo ale mi o malanu ma korin ma fi gbolu. See, Sunny Ade has done I cannot say it enough. He has done many, we're counting 80 albums.
Yeah.
In every album, maybe you have like 7 songs.
I mean, they said before 1984, before they brought him back, brought him into Mango Records, he had over 40 albums.
Can you imagine?
Credited to his name. He was a guy that would drop an album, like 2 albums, 3 albums in a year.
Yeah.
So like, he was a serious businessman.
Why were we like that though? Do we have other acts across the world doing albums like
that? Yeah, Hebopet, over 82 albums.
Jazz.
Yeah. I mean, the jazz guys, talking about the 22nd album for George Benson came in 1975 or so. I mean, you're talking about this. Think about it that time. Like, why am I talking about this guy's 22nd album now? You understand? But like, the pop guys, I think the genre of music gives you ability to work more.
Sunny Ade, even after signing to this big label, was still dropping yearly.
Yeah, I was still dropping yearly, but it was different.
Signed to them,
the approach was different.
Okay, so you could do because albums for the label when separately.
When it was in that record label, he dropped 3 albums before it was claimed to be dropped. But I felt like he wanted to leave.
Yeah.
So that was, but he, because the first 2 albums, Juju Beats, and the second one, which was Synchro System, they both made Billboard 200. They both made Billboard 200. But the Aura, which was one that, what's the name of that song that is very popular from Aura? Boromiru. Yeah, but that particular one, that's what, like, that album was the one album that didn't do so well for the American market because it didn't enter the Billboard 200.
Yeah.
But it was okay here.
What led us here is his stagecraft
and
how he's able to pull out of his thousands of songs to perform at any point. So, performance is soft.
That one is like just.
And then, apart from the singing, Sunny Ade can pick one sound without beats. He can tell the band to shut down the beats. And then he would, you know, when you're solving math and you're doing cross multiply, divide both sides by 2, he's going to pick one chorus and play with it for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
That's
a Juju thing, right?
I don't even know, but I enjoy it. Like, no beats. And then after he has done like ranting, or when I say ranting, I mean more like incantation or vibing. Okay, call it vibing. For like 5 minutes, he will now tell the band to, you people should rein in now. And then they go for 10 minutes without vocals.
I don't know. Forget,
and they keep dancing.
Don't forget.
The stagecraft is crazy.
Don't
man.
Forget to
I
add.
I love it.
Don't forget to add that man is busting a move in all of this.
Like, legwork before legwork. OG before IG. Like, you have to respect the craft. So, yeah, back to. I really wish we would just stop this at the King Sunny Ade and Mologu level. That means we are not making enough time for Bonnie Mac. Mologu in the year 2016 from the album Mirati, the song titled Penkele, obviously moving Juju from moving Penkele from Sunny Ade's Juju music to trap. So there wasn't rap on the song, but the sound is called trap in, you know, today's music.
Yeah, today's music, because I mean we were arguing that what genre would we put this. I was saying sounds.
Let me rephrase that. He didn't move the song. He sampled the song on a trap song.
Is it a trap song?
Yeah, that's a trap song.
Are we going to agree that it's a trap song?
I think that's a trap song.
All right, it's a trap
song. People will hear it and, you know, double check.
Yeah, all right, it's a trap song. And Mologu actually did very well with this one because, you know, I'm sorry. I know a lot of people want us to continue talking about King Sunny Ade, but we can't actually take
I don't think a lot of people want us to continue talking about Sunny Ade.
Come on, it's King Sunny Ade.
They look tired already, but
it's King Sunny Ade.
There will always be time to.
Yeah, but because, I mean, I'm sure I can do an hour on this.
Yeah.
Talking about legit. This music. But, like, you know, let's just get to Mologu immediately. Yeah, Mologu and Penkele, 33 years after the song was released and the original Penkele.
I mean, we did Jeezy 125 years.
Well, yeah! Jeezy is the largest so far.
Yeah.
125 years.
What was he thinking?
Eric Satie. 28,
actually.
Eric Satie.
Eric Satie.
I'm not French. Please, Eric Satie.
Oh boy. So what do you think about Mologu?
Mologu, album. First of all, let's talk about Mologu. First time I heard Mologu was that's the first time I heard him.
My own first time is Bolo Sharora Shew. I don't know. Why can't I sing for what the Bodolowo sarora se o botanica sarora. I think that's maybe featured Adekunle Gold, I'm not sure, but there was another song, Only Girl. Adekunle Gold and Mologo. So yeah,
I don't believe you love me.
And their friends.
Lying.
Yeah, and their friends.
I had known him before that time because I heard Ragabomi. First time I heard Ragabomi, I remember I was with my friend at the time. And I'm like, who's this guy? Because then we used to wait for SDC albums so we can listen to them together. It was the coolest thing at the time. I'm talking about from my days in uni, because apparently I'm not in uni anymore.
Nice.
My days in uni, like the early days, like year one, when I was in year one, I remember I'd heard Palm Wine Music. I was big on Palm Wine Music Volume 1, and Volume 2 came out, and then I heard Ragabomi, and I was like, whoa. I called my friend immediately. I'm like, did you hear this part? I'm like, yeah, I just heard the song too. And you know that kind of weird scenario where I heard this song, I don't know whether I think it's cool. And I'm like, I think it's cool too. And then Ragabomi was the name of the song, and he did very, very well. After that, he did a couple of songs that I know for Only You. The video was quite everywhere.
Yeah.
So it was the song that you couldn't run away from.
What was Mologo's biggest song so far?
Would
that be
song?
Only Girl? I don't think so.
Mm-mm.
Iretti?
Yeah.
Iretti really
2016.
Moved.
The album. Yeah, I did.
Iretti the song and Iretti the album.
Yeah. The good thing is, Penkera came off that album.
Yeah.
As well. So, good album.
Iretti,
I think he's referred to as one of the best
in
doing
what?
This music thing.
Yeah. Good voice.
Songwriting. I mean, like,
indie artist.
I mean, he has been nominated, and also for his songwriter, songwriting credits. I think he was nominated for Immobile in 2016.
Wow,
so yeah. So like with another artist, they did a particular song in the UK, and he was really good. Mobile Artist of the Year.
Solid.
So and that's from 2015 down.
I'll tell you something. When I was in camp, no, NYSC. So I was head of editorial unit.
Never said that before. Wow, so many accolades.
My man. So we were preparing publication for the final sign out for NYSC.
You guys do final sign out NYSC,
whatever that meant. Not sign out like that, but
pass. You see, I'm shaking my head, right?
Passing out. So
okay, the POP stuff.
Yeah. All right. So the features editor on our team, she did, or we produced a list of artists to watch.
Oh, okay.
And so on the list, she was just suggesting artists.
Please, what year was this? Let's 2016. Timestamp. 2016.
So we had Mologo, we had Tomi Owo, we had Otunsi most definitely. I think we had a good number of 11 artists. Falana was on the list. Falana the lady. So yeah, it was. So that's the memory I have of Mologo.
Yeah.
I wasn't really listening to a lot of music in 2016 because Ibadan.
I was.
Ibadan stressed me out. That was the same year Mad Over You was popping. The same year,
Banner.
But I just.
You did your NYC in Ibadan.
Yeah, it was cool.
The entire year?
Yeah. Yeah, sometime
did
I go.
Did you work at like a radio station?
No, I didn't. I really wanted to. I didn't. I couldn't.
Did you teach?
I taught computer and mathematics, but I had to run after like a few months.
You deployed. You redeployed.
I didn't. I told my principal that I'm the president of my unit, head of editorial, and I have to be available for work at the secretariat. So, and you know, levels. She was like, anytime you do your publication, bring one. Let me confirm that indeed you are the president.
You did?
Yeah, I gave her one of those publications. So, yeah.
Oh, that's cool. That's
Let's
really
play
cool.
Mologo and King Sunny Ade. Just to snippets from the two sounds. Benkele by King Sunny Ade from the year 1984. Benkele by Mologo from the year 2016. Solid sample, beautiful music. Sample Access, episode 38.
Everything I
na kwenkele o. Life matter na kwenkele o. Be yourself, be kwenkele o. Sound it. Oluwa lo show me, lo jam me, Larry. Ogwe mi soke si bi giga. Oluwa brought me this far, yeah.
Welcome back to Sample Like This Podcast, one of the best things to happen to podcasting, with your happy boys, Kuyega and Nelson. We are happy to welcome you back. We want to use this opportunity to thank our sponsors, our humble selves, Kuyega and Nelson. Today on the show, or on the podcast, we have just talked about King Sunny Ade, the king of world beats, one of the greatest musicians of all time. And we talked about the sample from Mologo and the song titled Kwenkele. Now on the flip side, we have Bonnie Mac, Basuma Wonder, Wale, and Mologo
again
for the song My Sweetie, My Baby, My Honey, My Sugar by Bonnie Mac.
Let me love you. That's the song.
I don't want to know. It's My Sweetie, My Baby, My Honey, My Sugar. Take it away, Nelson. Who is Bonnie Mac?
All right, Bonnie Mac is a Sierra Leonean singer. He died in 2015, sadly. He was born in 1945, and he was known for a couple of sounds in his hometown or in his country, but there was one song that transcended the country, that left the shores of his country, left the shores of the continent, and became a major hit everywhere.
I know one song like that.
What song is that?
Sweet Mother, Prince Nkombago, yeah?
Yeah.
What's another song?
13 million records sold, Sweet Mother. And also, it's still the highest sold single of all time. Nobody has beat that record yet.
Of all time?
Yeah.
When you say that, I feel weird.
No, but it's the truth.
How did that happen? What was the label?
It just happened. I think it was a label in Cross River State. They made big money off that song.
Are you saying this thing is registered in Guinness Book of Records?
Probably not, because of Nigeria's issue with documentation.
Who could have been the closest person in the world
for a single? Obviously Michael Jackson. That's the next person.
So how did
Michael Jackson or Led Zeppelin? But okay, I'm saying in Africa, of all time in Africa,
not of the world,
a single record.
You should have said that one before.
A single record selling 13 million.
Okay, African.
Yeah,
of course.
People had to buy records at that time. Like, you had to buy CDs or vinyl records at the time. And keep it in your house. And you sell 13 million. Push 13 million of those. You're a king.
Sweet Mother is viral.
Imagine you're buying it, I don't know, for $1. That's $18 million.
God knows how much they sold it at the time.
Yeah. But back to what we're talking about. Bonnie Mac was one of those artists. People would like to call him like a one-hit wonder.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure he's a one-hit wonder, because I'm very sure he did a couple of songs in his, side and his area where he actually did good and did okay. But I'm talking about this guy right now, Bonnie Mac, the bad guy in this case. He left the world in 2015, which was quite sad. But before that time, his music was everywhere. It was referred to as a 1981 disco hit. Now, 1981 was a solid year. Fantastic Voyage. You're thinking about Comeback Lover. I mean, that was the year where artists were trying to show that they were bigger than disco.
Cool and the Gang.
Cool and the Gang had just dropped something special in 1981. So 1981 was a crazy year for music. In Nigeria as well, we had, people like
Alexito
was 88. Talking about people like Obioyo are coming into light. There's also somebody I'm trying to remember. I think Alexito as well. Alexito was somewhere in the mix.
KSA.
KSA was dropping stuff.
Obey
as well, and also Kwam was coming into his own at the time, because he had left in 1975. So 6 years he had learned everything he wanted to learn, and 81 he was already doing the Talazo music at the time. Yeah. And Talazo came out in 84. We didn't talk about that in 84. I was saying something about 84 being a wild year for music. Talazo was 84 as well. So everybody was popping at the time. If you're an artist and you were good, you were good. There was no two ways about it. You were just good. And then we had, this guy, Bonnie Mac, coming out with the disco
hit.
How
did he cross over from Sierra Leone?
There was not so much. There's not so much story about that.
But it must have been a big deal in Nigeria.
Yeah, of course it was a big deal.
Across Africa.
First of all, I'm sure a lot of people know this, if your song is not being in South Africa and Nigeria, you have not transcended anywhere. Mm. If you are in the African continent, you understand? I mean, we still do that till this date. Because if a Tanzanian guy is good, and we don't know you here, you're not all that. Big respect to you. You are still a boss in your level, but you are still, you cannot be referred to as being all that.
We always talk about African songs transcending or moving from place to place. In Ghana, E.T. Mensa, High Life Music. I don't know if Osibiza was doing High Life.
Yeah, this is High Life. High Life.
How did they move? I mean, I'm just saying this, you know, rhetorical question.
Okay, also, because Osibiza was they were out there.
Manu Dibango in Cameroon was able to move from where he was and became very global. This man too, Bonnie Mack from Sierra Leone, made a
global hit.
Pan-African smash hit.
Yeah.
So
not Pan-African, global hit.
Wow. What is that element? Is it the record label that go there and say, let's help you distribute?
We have
just
this
organic growth.
We're going to do something in episode 50. I just feel like I should remind people again. We're going to be doing our special episode where we're going to be talking about 50 best music, best songs, best sounds. But we're not going to be talking about, it might not be solely based on samples. We just want to use that episode to be able to push out the sound and everything. And I think I'm talking about that because this song is one of those songs that pops out of somewhere.
Yeah.
They are special songs. You understand?
Is Papa Wemba in this set?
Papa Wemba had too many songs that are too special. So you can't. Papa Wemba is not. Papa Wemba
is Nigerian, Abi?
No, he's not Nigerian. Papa Wemba is from. Is he not. Ghana. Is it Congo?
Wow.
Papa Wemba should be Congo. Yeah.
I really thought Papa Wemba was Nigerian.
No, Papa Wemba is not Nigerian.
And had a special voice.
Yeah.
Those people are. I mean, look at
it's like Salif Keita.
Look at the Malaika.
Yeah, I was actually going to Congo.
Yeah.
Awilo
Logomba.
Yeah.
Is Awilo going to find a place on our list though?
Yes, no.
Are you sure though? When we start to compile,
maybe we'll do honorary mentions, but let's do 50 songs first. And Bonnie Mack happens to be one of those songs. We're not saying it's going to be on our list. Please note that we have too many songs. I mean, we already have songs that we are very sure they are going to be on our list.
Sure.
Like Double Sure, like Speechless, like Silver Shadow, No Brainer.
That's Silver Shadow, me, I don't know.
I feel heartbroken. But I know Shadi Adu is going to make one of the songs.
Yeah, yeah.
Whether it's Smoothest Taboo. I mean,
we'll rig the election.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so and I think Bonnie Mack has to be one of those songs as well. Because, you know, it's like Africa by Salif Keita. Africa, Africa. That song is not the only song from Salif Keita that is huge. But when you hear that song represents the entire continent.
Hugh Masekela,
grazing the grass. He might not make our list because of where Nigeria
is special.
And and special artist as well. So Bonnie Mack is in that level as well. Even though we don't have so many things to talk about him, he made that smash hit in 1981.
So
went on to be one of the best songs of the time.
Out of Africa.
He was also referred to as the African Musician of the Year.
Yeah,
I think the year afterwards by a magazine and referred to him as the number one.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's something.
So we can't connect him to any label. Is that what this is?
No, we can actually connect him to one particular.
While we try to do that, the samples off of that song include Wale on the album Attention Deficit in 2009. It came out as a bonus track, perhaps because of sample issues. There is Mologo doing a song titled My Sweetie. I think it came out as a single. I'm not sure it's on the Irritee album. There is another song. Do we have one more person that sampled it? Yes.
Pastor Mal.
Just a tiny bit on the Orobo Kibo album 1995. We are yours. Pasuma.
I feel like we should
Babala,
sharp.
Let's do
a sharp for people that do not really know who Bonnie Mack is. Bonnie Mack's real name is Cecil Bunting McCormack. So from Cecil Bunting McCormack, he coined out the name Bonnie Mack. Yeah. African singer, composer, as well as a musician, born in Freetown, Sierra Leone. Born on December 3rd, 1945. Died July 11, 2015. I think that's 70 years, if I'm correct. There's not so much about him, like as we said earlier, but he has been playing music since he was 6. He started with the harmonica, the penny whistle. I don't know what the penny whistle is. His first appearance was also at age 8. So, age 8, he had already started doing good music at the time. And they didn't want him to be out there because of he was too young. apparently. So like they had to like get all this parental whatever so that they could use him or let him be used by the music industry. He had been doing songs since 1966. That's why I said, even though he's not big to us, I'm sure to his Sierra Leoneans.
And then he had a UK connection.
Yeah, there was he died in the UK. So like he was connected to the UK strongly. Yeah. And of course, he performed in Europe, he performed in Germany. He had one particular song that was a minor hit, Oh How I Miss Her. So if that song was released in 1969, so he has already been in the ears of people prior to that time. So I'm sure he had an affiliation with a UK
label
group or UK label at the time.
Yeah, that helped push.
Yeah, but of course, what is also written is that he had most of his roots in Sierra Leone. So the guys that were working with him, the composers, the directors, the producers were mostly Sierra Leonean. So they knew, and there was no like, it was in the culture basically. So he didn't deviate too much from the culture. I think it kind of mirrors what happened with King Sunny Ade, because even though King Sunny Ade was in the US or the UK making music, he never deviated from the African sound, which was juju for most of...
Speaking of Pan-African,
most of his career, and still alive today, doing very, very well.
Who is that?
Big man King Sunny Ade.
Ah, yeah, Babanla.
Yeah.
Speaking of Pan-African music, I'm looking forward to the David Zay episode. Yeah.
That's the next... Is that not
our next that's the next one after the recap.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the samples, Wale on the My City song, he pretty much just did...
It took some parts of the song. In the
yeah,
of the
it was and like the chorus of
yeah,
the song.
Yeah, we need to tell people this as well. It was part of the two bonus tracks, so you might not be able to see it on Attention on Deficit if you check
album.
Up online.
Yeah.
You have to buy from iTunes, buy the entire thing. Although the video is available on YouTube, so you can check out the video. Actually, very cool. He represented Nigeria a lot.
Yeah,
he
always
saying,
does
Nigerian,
that.
Nigerian. My name
What's
is
that, sorry?
Adefolare Akitimeyi.
Yeah, solid. And then the other sample, we're going to put that somewhere, a snippet somewhere here while we wrap up. Pasuma's own is, you know,
Orobokibo.
We talked about Orobokibo album on the last episode. You can catch up with that. But Orobokibo is two sides, side A, side B. One was like 18 minutes. The other side also like 20 minutes. It was mainly just vibing the entire time, hailing some folks. And somewhere at the end, you had him sample a bit of Tingalingaling by Shabarangs, a bit of Bonnie Mac doing We Are Yours, Pasuma, yeah, tiny sample. And then now Mologo did, I call it a cover, but you said it's not a cover.
It's not a cover, because, you know, if it was a cover, that means you'd be talking about complete lift off. When I mean complete lift off, I mean like take the entire song and redo the song.
Okay.
Exactly the way it is, but obviously there were a lot of Nigeria lingo in it, so like it's no longer a cover.
So yeah, that's the bit about the Sample Access podcast episode 38. We're just going to wrap up snippets of these pieces.
Yeah,
hopefully the powers that be allow us to do it and they don't come for us in the future. And if they do, we'll be here.
Normal life, I'm not running anywhere.
God day.
Yeah.
Until we will no longer be playing. Sometime in the future, we might just stop playing these pieces. But for now, we're
enjoying the pieces and we're playing them.
Boyega Adeoya on Twitter, Boyega _ Adeoya actually on Twitter, and Boyega Adeoya on Facebook, LinkedIn, and everywhere else.
Nelson is NWAENIE.
I wanted to tell you not to spell anymore, so yeah, just say it, they'll figure it out. And it should be in the show notes. So,
is showing Winier.Nelson on Instagram and Winier_N on Twitter. And on Facebook, I don't know what happens there, but my name is Wayne Nelson as well. You can follow me, tag me, like me, whatever it is that happens on Facebook.
Share our podcast with your friends and enemies. Share with your family members. Share with the world. Put it on your timeline.
Let people know.
Support the Happy Boys, and we'll see you next time. We out.
This Happy Boys kind of stinks. Foot forward, holla.
ask your boy, and I can get them all without lots of effort. Take her home.
The baddest.
Administered by Boyega and Nelson.
Yeah, let me try that.